I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 4 and 8 to 11. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Reading from chapter 1, verses 6 to 8 and 19 to 28. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way for the Lord.'" Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Then why do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the gospel of the Lord.
It's a bit like musical chairs, isn't it? Word of prayer. Holy Spirit of Jesus, I pray that you would come, and Lord, you'd illuminate my words. That the words which come from you, Lord, would touch our hearts. But the words which are from man would fall to the ground like autumn leaves. Amen. For those who don't know me and those are online, my name is Paul Wallace. I'm a lay reader based here. And when I was a pupil at my first school, I had to take part in a school play. I was to be a herald. You can see the link, I hope. And my part involved coming to the front and proclaiming loudly, "Here comes the king, here comes the queen." At rehearsal, hardly a whisper came from my mouth, even after several attempts. And I was ingloriously demoted. I was dropped from the part, and I became a guard standing silently at the door. My parents, sitting in the audience, were very disappointed. I was quite content. On the other hand, John the Baptist, who we think about today, was no shrinking violet. He was a herald who did not pull any punches. He didn't whisper as he proclaimed the coming Messiah. I want only to look briefly at John the Baptist. I think it's important because we remember him today in this third Sunday of Advent, and then to dig into the passage from Isaiah and find the Lord's Commission, the title given to me. It may be the Lord's Commission which Jesus came to implement, but it is really a challenge for each one of us because we're called to follow Jesus. John's action and message look back to Isaiah 40, which we heard about last week. John is one preparing the way for the Lord, the Messiah. His humility is manifest. He refused to say that he was anything else but the voice announcing the coming Messiah. He did not attempt to gain parity with Jesus. At that time, there was great expectation and hope that the Messiah would come soon, and he would be one to set the Jews free from the yoke of Roman oppression. John was an irritant to the Jewish leaders and would ultimately be slain on a whim. John, however, before he died, saw the Holy Spirit coming on Jesus, and he had the confirmation that Jesus was the expected Messiah. Jesus told John's followers to go back and report to John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Luke 7:22. John would have the satisfaction of knowing that his role, his part, was fulfilled. He had played his part, as we can all play our parts, leading folk to Jesus. So we turn to Isaiah. And Isaiah 61 opens with a voice different from previous chapters. It is a trumpet call. Alec Motyer writes eloquently about the voice in Isaiah 61. No one introduces him. He speaks for himself, demanding attention, quite unselfconsciously, without arrogance, but with tremendous authority. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. He is both the servant and Messiah of earlier chapters, the Messiah who must suffer and rise again. In only that way can the year of the Lord's favor be ushered in. When Jesus took the scroll of the prophet Isaiah all those years ago and read those words aloud at the synagogue in Nazareth, he knew that he had been designated Messiah before his birth, and that calling began to be filled in that day. The year of the Lord's favor is another name for the kingdom of God, which Jesus came to establish. This was his commission. He was to establish the rule and reign of God, as foretold in earlier chapters. The Jews, however, were longing for a military Messiah who would rid their land of the oppressive Roman occupiers and restore the kingdom in the style of David. But Jesus had a different idea. He turned to the lost sheep of Israel to preach the good news of the gospel and inaugurate the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God. You see it referred to in Isaiah 60. It was established when Jesus came, and it has not ended. We live in the now and the not yet, waiting for his return. What on earth do you mean by that, you may ask? Perhaps this helps. When Maggie Keenan was given the life-saving jab by Nurse May Parsons, Boris Johnson said that Tuesday, the 8th of December, should be called V-Day, because that marked the start of an inoculation program which would bring the pandemic to the end, when enough of the population have been vaccinated so the disease ceases to spread and life will be able to return to normal. Currently, you see, we live in the now and the not yet of the defeat of COVID. That first inoculation has established a bridgehead in the territory of the virus occupies. It is yet to be completely finished. As I've already said, the kingdom of God came about when Jesus started his ministry, and it is ongoing today. Jesus announced in Mark 1:15, "The time has come, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." God's kingdom will be fully implemented when he returns. We are to expect his return, and this season particularly, we are to play our part as we prepare and pray for it. Jesus authorized, prepared, and equipped the disciples to be part of his work. Luke 10, and we hear the voice in verse 17. The 72 returned with joy, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." They saw the kingdom of God touching the lives of people. God has moved in the same way throughout the centuries. As the followers of Jesus continue that work and respond to the well-known commission that he left us in Matthew 28. No matter who we are and whatever our skills or personality, we are to share Jesus with those around us. Some can stand at the front and introduce people to Jesus as they preach. Sometimes it may be simpler than that, because our part in that mission is to share the faith we have. And I've probably lost you now, because you think I'm simply going to say that you've got to go on sharing your faith, and you've heard that many times. Well, yes and no. I have a confession. I'm not very good at it. I'm not very good at engaging with other people. And turn the conversation to Jesus. But I can run a sound desk, and can I lead prayer meetings, and I can do prayer ministry, and I can organize groups. I can do a bit of administration. A friend told me that when I start getting involved in prayer ministry, I seem to switch on. Who we are, what we do, and how we serve the Lord is about making use of the gifts God has given you. It is about being normal. It is about being yourself and letting people see the real you. Ironically, after I'd written this, I went and had my hair cut. I was the last customer of the day. And the conversation turned to Jesus. And we sat and we talked about Jesus for 20 minutes. I think the Lord has a tremendous sense of humor. He takes us and catches us out. And Peter reminds us, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to have a reason, to give the reason for the hope you have. And that is we do that in the best way we can. We don't have to perform. There are two women I know who work or have worked faithfully to proclaim the kingdom of God. One was in Aberystwyth, and she worked for 20 years as the church sacristan, or cleaner, or whatever. She was in the building all hours. I don't think she ever went home. She had a ministry of cups of tea. And to anyone who came in and seemed lonely, Margaret would go and talk to them, she'd go and speak to them, and ask, "Would you like a cup of tea?" And they'd have a cup of tea, and Margaret would sit and listen to them. She was bringing the kingdom of God into the lives of those people. Another woman is a member of this church, and she is fearless. She goes around spreading the good news, speaking to people, telling the love of Jesus to those I would never approach. She is absolutely incorrigible. She takes every opportunity to share her faith. And that is the kingdom of God being manifest. They were being themselves and using the gifts they had been given. Perhaps hearing a sermon, or the Alpha Course, but perhaps just a cup of tea given to a lonely person by a Christian, or simply telling someone that they're loved by God, causes them to open the door of their hearts because the Holy Spirit touches their lives and they come to Jesus. It is being prepared to do what we can when the Lord prompts us. There are others who are bolder. Ollie Holland goes into places, I think, where angels would fear to tread and tells people about Jesus. Other activities go on. We have the food bank. We're going to have people delivering meals at Christmas. We all play different parts depending on our gifts. And the kingdom of God is being worked out, showing others the love of Christ. People always groan when an older person says, "I remember." You can have your groan. I'm going to say, "I remember when some years ago, Joyce and I, with other church members, were in a twinning weekend at a church in Chester. It had been very difficult for some people. We were getting to the last meeting and getting ready to go home when the vicar asked Joyce how she was. We were going through a tough time at that time. Things were difficult. And Joyce told it as it was. Joyce was real. There was a tangible difference, change in the atmosphere. It was dramatic. Because people thought that we have everything sorted. They thought we were the cool cats from Aberystwyth. We didn't have any worries. After Joyce spoke, we stayed on an extra 20 minutes as people prayed, as the team prayed for most of the people in the room. God moved in a wonderful way. Many tears, they met with Jesus. The kingdom of God was present. Like the disciples, we were full of joy on the late journey home. So to conclude, John the Baptist proclaimed the coming Messiah. Jesus, the Messiah, with words spoken at Nazareth, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me, proclaim good news to the poor," fulfilled his commission by inaugurating the year of the Lord's favor. In other words, the kingdom of God, which will not be fully complete until he returns. Jesus equips us as followers to continue with his work. We do that in the way the Lord has prepared us and enabled us through the work of the Holy Spirit. But most of all, I think, we need to be real. When we're not real, we wear a mask. We're sick of wearing masks, aren't we? But when we're not real, we wear a mask. And when we wear a mask, we hide what Jesus has done in our lives. They can't see it. For some, their gift may simply be befriending someone, or telling them that Jesus loves them, or praying, or handing out more books. No role is more important than the other in God's economy. However, I believe some of us are struggling, and even the smallest things is too much. They feel as if they're just holding on by the skin of their teeth because of all the different pressures the pandemic has brought. Remember, Jesus is here to bind up the brokenhearted. He will never let you fall. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So let me pray. I'm going to pray for those who are struggling, and then I'll pray for the rest of us. So if you'd just like to sit quietly. And I don't know who's struggling, but you do. And I very simply pray, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd come. Touch the lives of those who are finding things so incredibly difficult. I pray, Lord, that it sees some encouragement. I pray, Father, you'd raise up support around them. And I pray, Lord, you'd comfort them and draw them closer to Jesus. And for others of us, Lord, I pray you just help us in our walk with you as we seek to bring the kingdom of God alive in this land that is suffering so much, in a world that is even suffering more. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.